Drugging, Murphy.
Drugs. Drugs, Murphy.
In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and think about using. So remember, don't.
Montucky Skies.
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brennan.
And I'm Alexandre Desplat.
So we got some changes coming to the Not Safe for Network. I'll just say that right off. I cleaned up Studio A so that the dog can't fucking chew through everything.
The all new, all uncanny Studio A.
Anything that the dog chews through now is going to electrocute the dog, as it should be. So.
Well, that's a good way to go.
Now, I didn't go and electrify everything. It's just those are the only cords she can get to. So hopefully there'll be a quick lesson learned if she decides to start chewing.
We're hoping it's a quick lesson.
Yeah. I'd hate to have like a fried dog like attached
or
to the end of
a
the
dog
cord.
That just adapts to it. It's just like, I'm going to make this make me
or
more
or enjoys
powerful.
It.
I've now got a new mixer that I plugged in so that if we have a bunch of people over, we can record everybody. Also, if Matt and Dub ever need to come and use the setup, we can do like, word of the day. But I'll have to work on that effect a little bit.
There's some kinks to be worked out, but we're getting there.
Anyway, we got a new podcast on the network. It's not quite on iTunes yet. At least it's not right as we're recording this, but it should be any day now. It's called Rule Thirds Podcast. So I think you can find it rulethirdspodcast.blogspot.com or maybe just rulethirds.blogspot.com. It's one of those two.
We'll have some links. There'll be links.
Yeah, I'll put a link up on it tomorrow. So
we put up links so you don't have to think.
That's right. And it's great. They basically do a movie podcast where they find whatever they're going to talk about, and they argue about it from all over the country, too. Like, we got one guy in Helena, I think.
Well, he's in Bozeman now.
Oh, is he? He told me he's living in Helena right now. So he was over at my house the other day.
Yeah, I think he went back to school today, actually.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, well, there's that. So, what, Bozeman for one of them? I think, like, maybe New Mexico for another
Somewhere southwest.
Yeah, and they're all three of them are in different parts of the country, so it should be interesting.
And somehow they have pretty solid sound quality, all things considered, yeah.
But if you want to check out old episodes, I know they have stuff up on YouTube with the audio, and so I helped them put it into podcast form, so.
It'll be a good time.
Yeah, two other things we're doing. We're going to give you guys quality and not quantity now that we have enough shows on the network, because we're killing ourselves and
we're like a real TV network. As we expand, we have to restructure. That's you when you're managing content, you have to make sure you can keep all the balls in the air. And if you can't, you got to rethink your strategies.
So Box Office Battle, and we'll re-explain this on Box Office Battle, but it's going to be every other week now. Just we're going to spread it out a little bit so that we're more fresh when we're arguing.
And it'll give us a little more time to prepare and get our stuff more in-depth and give you an even higher quality film and podcast experience.
And it's the same with the Thin Men. We're also going to do that bi-monthly.
Yes.
So,
bi-weekly.
Is that bi-weekly? Is that twice a week?
No, bi-weekly is... Okay, so here's the thing. This is one of those things where I've heard both, but in the comics world, when they say bi-weekly, they mean two times a month, and when they say bi-monthly, they mean every other month.
We're gonna do it every other week. We're going to do it every other week, and I think what I'm going to shoot to do is have 1 week with Box Office Battle, the next week with the Thin Men.
Smart.
So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But so we have a very special episode of Box Office Battle coming up, and I'm not gonna spoil it at all. You're just gonna have to take a listen.
Just know that it's possibly our crowning achievement in the medium of podcasting.
Yeah, it's our achievement.
It's about legacy, isn't it? It all comes down to legacy, I think.
That's right. So listen out for that. But enough about the network talk. So what do we want to do first? Do we want to do Brandon's game, or do we want to do believable badass or bullshit?
I am really curious about what Brandon's game is, so I vote we go that first.
Okay. So I'm calling this game Schrodinger's Cat.
Okay.
Hold on.
Schrodinger's Cat.
Okay. Man, that made my balls scrunch up.
Wait, let me try the reverb a little bit.
Schrodinger's Cat. How's that?
That's wonderful.
Does that work? Okay.
I don't think I'm fertile anymore. I don't know that that's related, but those two things happen simultaneously.
By the way, that's the only effect I could afford. That's all we got, reverb.
Well, that's wonderful.
I mean, when you have a budget, you got to make decisions on where you sink your money. And if you're going to choose an effect, that's an old standby.
That's right. I went to the store and they were like, you can get up to like 16 effects. I'm like, I can only afford one. So yeah. They got me the downscale
model. It's the car version of saying, listen, just make sure that it heats and cools when it's supposed to and the windows roll down.
Yeah. So now we have my dog instantly, because I dog-proofed this place. Now he's decided, the other dog, the good dog, decided to wind himself up in Brandon's headphones. So this isn't going to go good.
No, that, all right, we're back to normal here.
Okay.
Okay, so it's basically, I made a list of actors, or actually just famous people in general. I'm not limiting this to actors. And you're going to tell me if they are alive or dead.
Oh, we were talking
about
this.
Here we
go. That's awesome. That is right off of what we were talking about a while ago.
I anticipate I will be either morbidly good at this game or frustratingly bad at this game.
I can't wait. Let's do this.
Okay. So the first one I have on my list is Lauren Bacall.
Oh, she dead.
I don't think she is.
Oh, she dead.
Why do you think she's dead?
Because I'm pretty sure she died. I feel vaguely, I have vague memories of seeing that.
You know, I remember her being on The Sopranos 10 years ago, and I think that Tony Soprano is the only one so out of shape that he would still be alive. So I'm gonna say she's alive.
She is deceased.
She dead.
Damn it. All right.
All right. This is a fairly easy one. Kirk Douglas.
Oh, he. Oh wait. I almost tripped myself up. Hang on. Because now I've got myself all second guessing. You go first on this one. I need a moment to myself.
I think he's alive. Maybe I just think the better of everybody. Like, they're still breathing.
My instinct.
Maybe he's in a lung? What do you call it?
One of those iron lung.
Yeah.
My instinct was to say alive, and I stopped myself wondering, didn't he have like a cancer or something? But maybe he still has a cancer.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, thinking he's fighting cancer rather than dead from it.
I'm going to go with my first response and say he alive.
He is still alive.
Yeah. Yay.
Spartacus is still here. All right. Billy Graham.
Oh, man. I don't think, I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea.
That's why I'm going to let you answer first.
I'm going to say he's alive.
Yeah, I think he's alive too.
He is still alive.
Yeah all right. Yeah,
that's one that would have definitely picked up on my radar. You know, I'd be watching 700 Club, baby.
Here's my thing is, I never know if the day that some of these people die, like I never know if that's the day I was like watching Transformers 4, and like that's when I wasted those 4 hours. That was what I was missing out on. That's always my concern. Well, with this games is like this.
As a website was reporting as of 8 o'clock this afternoon or this evening.
That is incredibly specific.
I was watching the Golden Globes and just like reminding myself like, I wanted to put this game together.
Which, by the way, what a morbid thing for an award show to remember. You're just, the camera pans.
They usually have like the, in memoriam, which they didn't.
See,
but it just like made me think of the Oscars because they always do the in memoriam. And I'm like,
yeah, the hammer.
Yeah.
I was just imagining you watching the Golden Globes. And as the camera scanned across the audience, you were looking for white hair going, oh, you're going to die soon. You're going to die soon. You're definitely going to die soon. Not you, Meryl. I think you got some time left.
Well, and I will say I've been having a lot of Fox News on as I care give, and I feel like they share some audience, so there's no way I would have missed it.
What an oxymoron. I have some Fox News on while I give care.
I know. It is ironic. By the way, I was talking, and this was months ago, but I think Brandon missed out on an episode, but I remember me and Zach were talking on the Skies, and I was talking about how awful Huckabee was on show, just like the terrible things he did. Well, he has now stepped down because he's probably running for president. And they've like moved this lady judge something. I don't remember her name now, but she is like 10 times worse than Huckabee Wood. She literally screeches into the camera. Like the thing I heard yesterday, they were talking
about. Are they hiring actual Republican harpies now?
She was talking about how something about Muslims, and she's like, we need to kill them. And like, she's like, I'll make it simple for you. Kill them now. And I'm like, Jesus, dude. Right.
So what you're saying is she's the Skip Bayless of political news?
Yeah, very much. Just dumbs it down and yells to a blockheaded opinion. So you have to answer a shrilly screaming person. Oh. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So staying in the... political news, the next contestant is Nancy Reagan.
There's no way she's not dead.
I think she's... I said that wrong.
There's no way she's dead.
I was going to say she's alive. Because I know I would know if she died.
Here's the thing. The day she dies, there's going to be like 75 airports named after her.
That's true.
Yeah.
She's got the Reagan name.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's definitely still alive.
But she might be undead. Can we put that in there?
Can I just... You might have actually unlocked a new theory for me, which is the closer you are to death, the more types of things will be named after you. So, like, a library can be named after you while you're alive.
Not Nancy Reagan, though.
A gym can be... Like, an auditorium or an arena can be named after you while you're alive. A public school? Not till you're dead.
Who did literacy? Which first lady had literacy?
Wasn't that Bush?
Laura?
Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara.
Barbara Bush. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because Nancy Reagan was just saying no.
Yeah.
Yep, she was drugs.
That was probably the most famous first lady.
I like that yours, like, crusade. She was just saying no, and mine was, she was drugs.
That's because I had to grow up with no, right to say no. And all those commercials you heard at the beginning were probably spearheaded by Nancy Reagan's organization.
Nothing illustrates the difference between now and then so much as like the anti-drug campaigns of the 80s were all like perky and had a cute song. And now they're like, meth, not even once, or a dinosaur will steal your liver in the night.
Yeah, the ones we grew up with, that no commercial, I was talking about, no, right to say no. They had like a mulleted like... butt rocker like playing it, and there's like highlighted like blue and pink neon everywhere that says like just say no on like a big circle, like it's eating at the improv or
it's
something.
Like a watered down Miami Vice.
Yeah, everything was like a watered down Miami Vice in the 80s. Don't let them tell you differently. They're cherry picking clips that, if they tell you it's
that's
not.
My understanding of it was all Miami Vice and Amadeus for 10 solid years. All right, I'm sorry. We have completely driven Brandon's game into the ground.
Isn't that kind of the point?
This was totally planned out.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
I bet if we just straight up played this game and answer, it'd be over in like 2 minutes.
That's probably true, yeah.
But I knew how this was going to go. So there
you
was...
know we're children.
All right, what's the next one?
Monty Hall.
Ooh. I don't have the slightest idea.
I'm going to go dead just because we've done a couple of alives in a row.
I've been hearing about game show hosts dying, and I can't remember if it was Monty Hall or not. But I think it was a diff. I don't think it was. Well, I'm going to say alive. I'm going to stick to my alive streak here just to be different than Zach.
So you had alive, you had dead.
I have he dead.
Monty Hall is still alive.
Yes!
Yeah, well.
We're tied again.
He's dead to me.
We haven't been tied since it was 0-0. I'm going to run.
All right. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam.
Ooh, I think he's dead. I think he's got to be dead. I feel like he'd be one of those dudes we'd be hearing about all the time if he was still alive. You know what I mean?
I sort of get what you're saying, yeah, but...
Like, I feel like we would be getting word from prison every now and then about some crazy thing he believes.
I almost said the dumbest thing in the world.
What's
which
that?
Which was, well, we don't hear about Timothy McVeigh a lot. Yeah, because he dead too. So I'm going to go with dead too.
So you had, dead. Both had dead?
Yeah.
He is still alive.
Really?
Wow, he must have cleaned up.
This one actually shocked me when it came.
Is he like a rabbi in prison or something? What's going
no
on?
I have no idea. Like...
If he's a rabbi, we would have heard about it.
That's probably true.
He's probably...
He's just making license plates.
Did he go to prison
plates.
Or did he go to, like, a mental institution? because I feel like if he went to a mental institution and he never got out, that very well could be why we never hear about
it. I'll just say this. I don't know, but I don't think both is out of the question.
I'm not going to research this right now, but I'm betting that he's in an institution. That's why we don't hear about him.
There's a fair chance of that.
There's a real solid chance of that.
All right. Mary and Barry.
That's tough. The
crackhead mayor of Detroit.
I think I remember hearing about him dying. I think he did.
I think he did, too.
He did.
Yeah. He did. I was like, when you're known for being a crackhead, odds are.
Thank you for the crack Linote cartoons. Cartoon cereal.
Like, it's only a matter of time before Rob Ford goes.
You're on borrowed time.
That's probably insensitive, but I love it.
Montucky Skies taking shots at mayor since 2015.
All right. Roger Waters from Pink Floyd.
Oh, he alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
He's alive.
Yeah. I appreciate you throwing us a softball.
Yeah, if you said Sid Barrett, he dead.
He dead.
He did.
Also, Rick Wright dead. I was shocked to
hear
that.
That's a surprise.
I never heard about that. And I suddenly read that the other day, and I was like, what? Like, yeah. It was when the new album came out, because they were like, what shocked me about it was the new album came out, and then I read, yeah, they banked all these tracks with Rick Wright before he died. And I was like, Rick Wright died? Like,
wait, back that sentence. Yeah,
hold up.
Because I feel like I should have heard about that. Like, I love Pink Floyd, but furthermore, like, that's the dude he was the original architect of Dark Side of the Moon. Like, most of those songs flowed from him first. They should have made a way bigger deal of that. Yeah. If you make a big deal out of Clarence Clemons dying from the E Street Band, which you totally should, you should make an even bigger deal of Rick Wright dying. I'm just saying. Like, a little more of a social impact.
Yeah.
Absolutely. At least worldwide. Yeah. Anyway, that's not to shit on Clarence Clemons. Also no. Love him, too.
I think it comes down to, like, name recognition to the average audience. And I think since Clarence Clemons had all those features that...
There is no recognition name recognition at all whatsoever, unless you're a Pink Floyd fan.
Uh-huh.
But it still should have been a story. I'm just saying.
Agreed.
All right. Tammy Faye Baker. Back to the 700 Club.
Yeah.
I think she died. I thought I heard an interview on What the Fuck with her son. And I think she died.
I was going to say the same thing. And partly because I remember seeing 700 Club and thinking a lot of those ones were on borrowed time at the time. And I think I saw a lot of them as reruns. So I have to assume dead.
All right. She dead.
Yeah, she dead.
Yeah. I'm really glad I listened to What the Fuck now. It actually helped me later. Yeah.
Don Shula of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, he alive.
I think he's dead.
He might be dead. Now you're making me worry. I'm saying he alive.
He is still alive.
Yeah, he alive.
But he hasn't felt alive for a long time.
You know, Biggs, you made me waver for a minute on that one. I was like, he's alive. Wait, no, I'm not so sure.
That's right. I got mixed up with him being fired from the Dolphins.
I feel like he was on TV recently, so.
All right. We got Dick York from Bewitch.
I'm going dead.
Dick York. I don't even have the slightest idea.
I'm just going dead off. I feel like, I don't know, he seemed like one of those who could have gone like slightly before his time and never got appreciated.
All right, I'm going to say, you're saying he's dead?
I'm saying he did.
I'll say he's alive just to be contrarian.
Fair enough.
He did.
Yeah. Yay.
Oh, no.
You were just cocked up to celebrate no matter what happened.
Yeah. I forgot what I picked.
All right, John Landis.
John Landis is... I'm pretty sure he's still alive, because I'm pretty sure the last time I listened to Max Landis on a podcast, he was talking about seeing
him. I swear I would have heard about him.
Dying. Yeah, I feel like I'd have heard about that.
Yeah, that was a softball. He's still alive.
Okay, good. I like how... that was the equivalent of, like, watching a softball and sort of half-swinging tentatively.
Like, is it really that easy? Yeah,
this can't be right.
All right, next on our list is Manfred Mann of Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
Man, I have no idea, Manfred.
Man, I don't think I know about Manfred Mann's status either, man.
I'm just going to have to play the odds on this one. We're talking like early 70s, late 60s. Probably did a lot of drugs. Clearly didn't make it, which means he probably spun out of control. Or might have been saved by religion.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. Like, he might be living on a farm in Idaho growing potatoes and talking about Jesus.
Earth band.
I mean, the growing potatoes thing is there. Maybe he's at a commune.
Blinded by the light, revved up like a... Dude, Bruce Springsteen wrote his only hit. Do you know this? Yep. Bruce Springsteen wrote his only hit. Fuck him, dude. I'm going to say he's dead.
I'll say dead, too. I have really no idea.
He's still alive and kicking.
Well, at least I didn't lose ground.
Fuck you, Manfred Mann.
Then he must be on a commune growing potatoes.
It's the only alternative. He's got that healthy lifestyle.
That's right.
All
right.
Burgess Meredith.
Oh, Burgess Meredith. He's dead.
Yeah,
I'm confident.
He is dead.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Burgess.
Dr. Joyce Brothers.
I don't remember hearing about her dying. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. But I don't remember. But she was so present in pop culture, and I haven't seen her for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've even seen her since like the 80s. Dude, I'm going to say dead. Just off the fact that I haven't heard about her for a long time.
I'll just say alive, just for the sake of being contrarian.
She passed away in 2013.
Yes. Man, sorry. So I think we're tied up again.
I think we found the moral, the eared squeaky center of celebrating whenever Brandon tells us someone's dead.
When I said yes, I was...
Yeah, of course, about winning.
Celebrating her death. Congratulations, you lived a good life.
Good work, Joyce.
And you got me a point. Yay!
All right, David Prowse. The actor who played Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
He's alive.
He's alive, I'm pretty sure.
He is still alive.
Yeah, because if he died, that not only would that have been on my radar, it would have been on my radar because he's currently working on Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Like, well, he was banned from anything that George Lucas was doing, like in a year or two ago.
But I thought I heard that Abrams brought him in for something.
Yeah, to be like some sort of... in a scene or something like that.
Yeah.
Like Abrams is wont to do. All
right. George Kennedy.
Remind me. George Kennedy was in the Naked Gun, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Boy. I'm going to go dead. I think he's dead.
Yeah, he was pretty old in the early 90s when those movies came out.
I think he's dead.
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm going to go dead.
He is still alive.
Hey, good for you, George Kennedy.
Yeah, congratulations.
Shout out on being alive.
You need a caregiver? You don't watch Fox News, do you? You're a Kennedy. Probably not. Is he related to the famous Kennedys?
Or is he just his own famous Kennedy? He might just be his own Kennedy, yeah.
Do you think he claims that around social circles?
I don't know if he does regularly. I'm sure he has. Like, if you're trying to tell me at some point when he was 24 he wasn't using that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if I was a Kennedy, I would be claiming it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure he has.
I was thinking of changing my name to Smith Kennedy just to, you know.
Just to roll with it?
Yeah, yeah. People like, wasn't it Small? No, Smith. Oh, okay. Smith Kennedy. Got it.
I'm married into the family.
Are you Shriver now?
Yeah. Whatever it takes to link into the Kennedys.
I'm in it.
All right. Bernie Casey. You maybe remember him. He played for the 49ers. He was in Brian's Song, Never Say Never Again, and Spies Like Us, The Black.
Was he in... Okay. Do we know when he played football? Like, was he in Brian's Song as in he was being portrayed, or was he
He was just out of football when
he would... So was he being portrayed or was he acting?
He was acting.
Okay. All right. So we're talking like the 70s, I believe.
I'm going to go with dead.
Hmm.
With those...
concussions? Exactly. Do you know what position he played?
You know, I don't.
Do you know if he's defense or offense?
Not... I read it on his Wikipedia page, but I did not retain any.
I'm guessing a shitload of concussions, like walking problems. I'm guessing dead. as sad as it is to say.
Yeah, I kind of got to get in your camp on that one. Yeah.
I mean, just the type of pounding from that era of football, like the odds aren't in his favor.
Not to mention probably there's a good chance he took like the old kind of steroids that gave him cancer. Yeah, I'm going to say
or at least too. Like amphetamines or some shit. Yeah. Now we're accusing him of stuff. Oh, my God.
Dude, Burgess Meredith dropped the dime on a bunch of people, right? Found that out in the thin, man. We just decided that was the case.
He is still alive.
Oh, man. Now I feel super bad for some of the shit we said.
I feel worse because he was a Niner. That's my own team, dude. Which sad is like I know almost no 49er history before the 80s.
Before you appeared.
It's not even before. Well, I mean, yeah, technically before I appeared, but it's really like before they started, right before they started winning Super Bowls. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. When you talk about pre-Walsh era.
It's just no.
I don't even care, dude. They talk about it. I just space out. Like, I know something about the Gold Rush was like a really good, like, defensive tackle and like defensive ends that they had, but I don't really give a fuck enough to know who they were
or like what their numbers looked like.
Like, I don't know. I could care less. Give me Super Bowl era Niners on. Not the Super Bowl era, like 49ers in the Super Bowl era.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Doc Severinger, Johnny Carson's band leader.
Mm. I'm guessing dead on principle. Although he probably lives a super comfortable life. I might flip-flop on this.
I think I remember hearing he was dead. I think I specifically remember hearing he was dead, so I'm going to go dead.
I don't remember hearing. I'm just going to stick with my first instinct.
He's still alive.
Oh, damn it. I should have swapped.
Whenever you yell, damn it, I know. That's just as bad as cheering.
This is making us look so bad. I didn't say my last name, right?
Maybe we shouldn't have done this one off the top.
Oh, no.
All right. Bubba Smith, Hightower, is he alive or dead?
I'm going to say alive. I'm just taking alive.
I think he's dead. I think he's dead.
He is dead. He died of a drug overdose.
Yeah, I remembered hearing about him dying. And I remembered they were like talking about some of the acting jobs that he did. They mentioned the Married with Children because he played in 3 different Married with Children. I'm like, really? That's what you're hanging him with? He's in so much stuff.
That's the top of the resume in your eyes?
Like, I love Married with Children, but you're like guest star 3 times.
3
like,
times.
That's not
over
cool.
Like 170 episodes or whatever it is.
Dude was a supporting character in like 7 Police Academy movies.
He was in every Police Academy movie. So
I never saw Mission to Moscow.
No, that like on his the page I was looking at, it lists he was in every Police Academy movie.
I just should have known that people named Bubba never live long. Like Bubba is not the name of an old man.
No, it's not.
That's a young man's name.
Or a young man who looks old because
yes,
of the way Bubba
lives. Because of hard living.
Because of Bubba's liquor.
All right. Howard Hessman of WKRP.
Oh, yeah. Did I hear about him? I think I heard about him dying.
I think I did, too.
I think I heard about him dying. Yeah.
He's still alive and kicking, man. He's
I knew I should have been contrarian though. For contrarian's sake.
He's dead inside.
All right. Dick Smothers.
One of the all-time great names.
I think he's alive.
I can't hear the name Dick Smothers without cracking up. His name's Dick Smothers.
And he was a straight man. That's the weird thing.
I'm going to go with alive. I need this name living on.
Dick Smothers is alive.
Yeah, I'm so happy for you, Dick.
Yeah, I was pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure if either of the Smothers brothers dies, I'm going to hear about them.
I'm sorry, it's just inherently funny. I don't know what to tell you.
That's okay, because they were comedians. Go ahead and laugh. I'm sure they'd be happy that even though they're pissing their adult diapers, like, people are still
their legacy lives on.
Tom Smothers is just sadly like going to do a yo-yo trick and just drops on the ground.
Well, they should just be happy that they're still making people laugh from not quite beyond the grave.
Might as well be. Consider they were in this game and we weren't really that sure.
All right, for the record, is Tom Smothers alive or dead?
Oh, shit.
I think he's alive.
I'm going to go with, you know what?
The way you said it makes me think he's dead, but I think he's
alive. I'm going to say dead.
He's still alive,
damn
too.
It.
Yay! The way you said it was tricky. It made
it
me
was
question
tricky.
It
totally
minute.
Sold me.
But I was like, dude, I would have heard it. I would have remembered Tom Smothers. They actually like brought me. So that was one of those rare things that like my grandparents, my parents, and I, as a child,
were all into
Smothers Brothers. That's where that ends, by the way. There's no more generations that are like watching the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no connection with the Smothers Brothers.
I remember they were watching still some doing, Smothers Brothers.
Not only was it like played all the time on Nick at Night when we were kids, but they were actually still doing the TV circuit all
well,
the time.
Well, yeah, and you know, they were guest appearing on a lot of stuff, and you know, they were still like, they were on Carson and doing that kind of stuff a lot too.
I think they gave Steve Martin his start as a writer too. Like, I think Steve Martin started as a writer on their show. So, like, another legacy right there.
Yeah, that's a hell of a legacy too.
Yeah.
All right. Faye Dunaway.
I don't know.
Faye Dunaway's still alive. I'm going with alive.
I'm going to go dead.
She's still alive.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm so happy for you, Faye.
Are you sure Faye didn't die in the last 15 minutes?
Come on, you please. Said it was only updated at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, how accurate is this? When you're Faye Dunaway's age, you're counting your age in days, not in years anymore.
All right. Russell Johnson played the professor on Gilligan's Island.
Wow.
I am going to go dead.
Gilligan looks really old now.
He looks super rough, doesn't
and the
he?
Professor
was even
like
older.
He was older.
Yeah.
I'm going to say dead.
He is dead.
Yeah, makes sense.
It was within the last year he passed away.
Wow, good genes.
He had a long run there.
Long, long run.
So he must have been in his hundreds. So like 200 something. I don't know. I'm not good at this math.
He was definitely in the mid triple digits.
All right. We got Lee Radziwill. She's the sister of Jackie Onassis.
I've never heard of this person before.
What is her name again?
Lee Radziwill?
Radziwill.
She's Jackie Onassis' sister. Younger or older?
I do not know.
Dude, Jackie O died a while ago, so I'm going to say dead based off of that knowledge.
I was going to say dead too, but I feel like I have to go opposite of you to catch up. So I'm gonna say alive even though I think dead.
She's still alive.
Nice!
Damn it.
That paid off. The gamble paid off.
I have no idea what the score is.
Me either.
We
might be tied.
I thought you were ahead. I really did think you were like...
Oh, see, I thought you made a surge at some point.
I made a 1 point surge, and then I think you pulled ahead again. I think you're 2 up, but I don't know at this point.
It could really go either way. We can barely tell if some of these people are alive or dead. I don't trust us to count. Remember when we used to use the remember your own score method?
Yeah.
That barely ever worked.
That's why I'm keeping track here.
Oh, so who's winning?
You know, I actually haven't added up. I just have a tally.
That's fine.
<Okay. laughs> Actually, that makes it more suspenseful.
Exactly. Because we'll find out at the same moment.
All right. Joe Garagiola.
Christ. Who is that?
I have no idea who that is.
He's he wrote a few books. He was a catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Athlete and writer, which means he's probably a drinker.
He's definitely a drinker. Can we get an era for a book or a baseball game?
I'm thinking he was late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, this
for baseball.
And he wrote
writing.
A lot of books on, I don't know why, but for the on the Yankees.
Okay,
so he's writing about the Yankees.
And,
so,
but those last book that I actually remember reading one of them. It was mid 80s.
You know,
well, because you told me he wrote about the Yankees, I'm saying dead on principle.
I'm saying alive because I fucking hate the Yankees, and I feel like those motherfuckers are going to be immortal. Even if they die of a debilitating disease, they get it named after
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
So, yeah. They just live on anyway. I'm going to say
and bring other people down with them like the poison the Yankees are.
Way to go, Lou.
Lou Gehrig's the Yankee I love. I don't know why I'm taking him down with me, but...
Yeah, he's all right. Dude, he actually, like, he played a lot of games.
Yeah, right?
Longest consecutive streak until...
Cal Ripken Jr.
Yeah, that was the one. I even saw that game when he overtook it. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say he's alive.
He's still alive.
Yes. I don't remember what I said. Did I say dead?
You said dead.
That sounds like me. Oh, yeah, that's right. How could I have immediately forgotten?
That's what touched off our rants. Because I love that. Dude, we hate, like, we don't follow the same teams.
But we hate the same teams.
It's great. It's so great.
Sometimes, man. I find being bonded in hate is better than being bonded in love.
It kind of is. Because there's degrees of dislike when you both like a team. Like, if you disagree on a player on your roster, you get upset at each other sometimes. But
when you hate a team,
it's the gift that keeps giving.
You hate everybody. They could be a literal saint, and you will still hate them just for wearing that logo.
Like, if you hate the Lakers, this is the season to tune in, man. It's been wonderful. My team just destroyed them tonight.
I think I've seen more Lakers games than Celtics games this year because I get more joy out of the Lakers games.
Oh, and they're worse with Kobe Bryant. His usage rate is in the top five bottom all time.
Jesus Christ.
He's taking around 48 shots a game.
That's ridiculous.
And his field goal percentage is like in the 20s. It's fucking great. I love it. There's nothing better. Look, you don't have to follow sports to realize if you hate a dude, there is nothing better to watch than like an athlete way past his prime who still has a green light to do what he wants on a team. It's so great. I remember watching Jordan doing that
the Wizards years.
Too. Yep.
Yeah. Like, he put the team together. They knew he was tight with management. He got to do whatever the fuck he wanted. And it was great watching what he did.
But you know what's even better than his Wizards years? The Michael Jordan Bobcats years. Now, that was a special kind of Schadenfreude.
Well, he's failed at every level that wasn't picking up a basketball. So.
And gambling money and smoking cigars.
That's right.
He's great at both of those things. Mediocre at golf.
How many more names we got?
We got one last name.
Ooh. Okay.
Harry Chapman. Cats in the Cradle.
The Cats in the Cradle. I'm saying he's alive.
I'm pretty sure he's alive.
And I'm hoping he's having talks with the son.
Yeah.
You know, just being real close.
I can't say for sure, but I thought 2 years ago I heard him on a radio interview. So,
well, remember, the site was updated at 8 p.m. today. Right. So.
But I just feel...
No, I'm going with alive as well.
Yeah.
You are both wrong.
Oh.
He's been deceased for a long time.
That makes me
really
sad. My dad used to listen...
He died in a car accident quite a while ago.
My dad used to listen to Harry Chapin's greatest hits in the car, and so we'd listen to... I specifically remember the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. And then also 30,000 pounds.
I haven't heard that song in like a million years.
And you only know that song if you listen to like Harry Chapin's greatest hits. There's no other way you know that song. It was not a radio hit.
No.
We did a dance in high school. It was called the Atomic Prom.
Oh my god.
And it was great, dude. Like it was just basically supposed to be like an anti dance or whatever, because it was back when alternative music was
in the
90s.
There were plaid shirts and
basically it was the week after prom, and they took all the prom decorations and just destroyed them.
That actually sounds like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, and they decorated the hall with garbage bags. I remember that.
If the listeners don't know this, one of my favorite things in the world is destroying pretty things. So,
and it's one of the dances Biggs got laid afterwards. So Biggs has a very special...
You got some fond memories?
I think that was the first one I got laid after. Anyway, so that one, I remember this dude was DJing, and he was like, I don't know what's up with the song, but my friend wants me to play it. And he played that one, and I was like so happy, like singing along with it. Everybody stared at me like, what the fuck
is wrong
with
you? Why do you know this song?
They didn't even make it all the way through.
Why would you?
Because it speeds up at the end and it gets better.
No, I mean, if you're a DJ at an anti-prom, why would you?
Okay.
So, for the record, Alex wins by one.
Yeah, congratulations. I concede. I concede.
I'm good at knowing if people are dead or alive.
I'm apparently mediocre at it.
Okay, so for the... We're doing a double long one.
Yeah, we are. Extra special episode.
Yeah, so sorry if you had to wait a long time for this to download before you went to work, but screw it, dude. We're doing this. We got a bonus
second
box
game.
Office battle coming up. So we're just churning this out on Skies tonight.
So we are going to play our beloved game.
Believable, badass, or bullshit.
That's the only effect I have.
I like it.
We're just gonna.
I'm glad you paid extra for that feature.
Yeah.
So I'm starting from the bottom of this list, and I'll build up to best motion picture and drama. Sound fair?
Yeah.
Cool. So we're starting with best original song for a motion picture. Now, this list I'm looking at does not tell me the names of any of the songs. So.
Okay, can you do me a quick favor? You gave us a great breakdown last year, the Golden Globes, of what the Golden Globes love, and it was so accurate. So can you repeat that again for people playing along?
For those of you who are unfamiliar with Hollywood award shows, the Golden Globes is the award show presented by the Hollywood Foreign Press. And it goes over television and movies. And the Hollywood Foreign Press has a couple things they look for in their winners. They like foreigners, because, you know, Hollywood Foreign Press. They like big stars. And if neither of those two are available, then the most deserving candidate. Now, sometimes you get it where the most deserving candidate happens to win anyway, but it's generally because they're one of the other two categories as well.
So this game, we haven't done Believable, Badass, or Bullshit for a while. So if you're new to the show, what we do is we guess who the winner was if we don't already know. Otherwise, we probably stay silent. And then we guess it, and then we find out, and we say whether that is believable, badass, or bullshit.
That's
I think that's self-explanatory.
Exactly. And if it's not, you'll figure it out real quick.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to kick it off with best original song for a motion picture. Our nominees are some song from Big Eyes, some song from Selma, some song from Noah, one of many songs from Annie, and some song from The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 1. Which I'm guessing that one is probably The Hanging Tree. That
no,
song.
It wasn't.
It's not? Okay, well then I don't know.
Okay.
I know which movie won.
What's Big Eyes about?
Big Eyes is about a girl with big eyes.
Really?
It was the one with Christoph Waltz.
Yeah,
and
Amy Adams, and Tim Burton directs it.
Oh, so legitimate star and Christopher Waltz, an international star. I'm going to go with the Big Eyes one.
Okay.
Based off of that.
Fair enough. Brandon, you know who won, yes?
I believe it was the Selma.
It's the song from Selma. It's John Legend's song from Selma.
I like John Legend, so I'm going to say badass.
I'm
a big R&B fan for certain types.
I have only seen two of the movies on this list, Noah and Hunger Games. The song I thought it was from Hunger Games is apparently not that song, so I haven't heard that one. And I can't remember a unique song from Noah. So none of these really stick out to me at all. And I haven't seen Selma, Big Eyes, or Annie. So I'm just going with believable.
Yeah. The weird thing was the song they had from Annie was...
Was it Hard Knock?
If you haven't seen the movie, it was an original song for this movie.
Yeah, like it has to be an actual original song.
Okay.
So there we go. Now we have best original score for a motion picture.
Okay.
Your nominees are Alexandre Desplat for The Imitation Game, Johan Johansson for The Theory of Everything, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Gone Girl, Antonio Sanchez for Birdman, and Hans Zimmer for Interstellar.
Mm. Do I think Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross are going to get love at this? I'm going to say yes. I think that they have enough broad appeal. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Gone Girl.
I know you're wrong, but I don't remember what the winner was.
Here's what I will remind you. Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor were nominated against four foreign people.
I know. So, I was still going with it.
The winners,
I was going with the star power.
There you go.
It's got to be the biggest star, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on Hans Zimmer. Hans Zimmer's a pretty big name.
That's true.
Yeah.
But...
In any case, 4-1 out.
Hey, look, Hans Zimmer's walking down the street.
Oh, let's they go definitely see if don't.
Hans Zimmer will have a beer with me.
They definitely don't have the. He definitely doesn't have the visual recognition. But if somebody said to you, Hans Zimmer's at this restaurant, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, who is it?
Which one?
Which guy? So the winner was Johan Johansson for The Theory of Everything.
Yeah, okay.
It's a perfectly good score.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's believable.
That's perfectly believable to
I'll
me.
I'll say believable.
Best
not knowing what I'm talking about.
The best screenplay for a motion picture. Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. Gillian Flynn for Gone Girl. Alejandro González Iñárritu, Nicolas Jacobon, Alexander Di Nolaris, Jeez, and Armando Bo for Birdman.
I thought that was all one name for a second.
And you just riled it right off.
Right off. Yeah, no, that's four dudes. Four credited writers for Birdman.
I'm going to go Birdman.
There's two movies left.
Okay, hold on.
Richard Linklater for Boyhood and Graham Moore for The Imitation Game.
Okay, from what I've heard about Boyhood, there's not much of a plot. Like, I think it's just... Now, I've not seen it. I'll just come out and say it. I am going to see it, but I think that there's not much of a plot. So I can't imagine they're handing the writing one to them. Gone Girl was cleverly written, but based off of the show... I mean, you know, the criteria that we're really following,
yeah.
I don't think that fits it. So I'm going to go Birdman.
Birdman.
It is, in fact, Birdman, yeah. Which is badass. That's badass.
Now, I would say equally badass would have been Gone Girl.
Agreed.
In fact, I would say, I don't know. Dude, those are both so well written. I'm not sure.
And
I
it's two completely different jobs, too. Like, they're accomplishing very different things with those scripts. It's sort of hard to compare.
I guess I'd be happier with Birdman winning just because it's more original than Gone Girl. Though Gone Girl
is pretty,
fuck, dude, pretty the twists damn. In that movie. You can see them. You're a fucking liar. You read the book.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're telling me,
or at the very least, the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, like you got something spoiled for you if you're predicting. So
now we have Best Director of a Motion Picture. Your nominees are Ava DuVernay for Selma, Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel, Alejandro González Iñárritu for Birdman, David Fincher for Gone Girl, and Richard Linklater for Boyhood.
I'm trapped between the same two again. But I'm going to go Birdman because he's foreign, I think. It sounds foreign. I don't actually know if he's foreign or not.
He is Mexican.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with that one then. Yeah. Yeah, Birdman.
This one actually went to Linklater for
It went
Boy.
To Linklater in a big surprise.
Okay.
Linklater
and, you know, I actually going to say badass because the amount of work he put into that movie.
100% agreed.
I heard about this movie for the first time 5 years ago that he was making this movie. And I was kind of like, huh. But I didn't really think about it again until the movie came out. And I was like, he really did that? Like, it was just like...
It actually
I
happened?
I heard about it, but the fact that it actually like happened and finished
You
was
get
amazing.
Somebody paying you for a movie for 12 years.
Oh my God. Before they can even see a cent of a return on their investment. Like, it's such an incredible achievement that it absolutely deserves to win.
Yeah.
I'm on badass.
Yeah, I'm
going to
say
well.
Badass on that.
Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture. Your nominees are Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Edward Norton for Birdman, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, and Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher.
Who is the last one?
Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher.
Okay, I feel like the foreign is out on this, so we're talking star power, probably. You want to read off one more time?
Absolutely. Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Edward Norton for Birdman, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, and Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher.
The things I've been hearing about J.K. Simmons, I wouldn't be shocked if he won that. But, yeah, I don't know if he won. I'm going to go Ed Norton. I'm going to trust that there's enough actor-y, like, press people. Yeah, I'm going to go Ed Norton.
Okay.
J. Jonah Jameson.
J.K. Simmons in a badass win. I fucking love that movie. I fucking love his performance. Absolutely well deserved.
I still haven't seen it yet, but I'll say badass because I love J.K. Simmons.
And despite blowing up the criteria I laid out, this year sort of blew up the criteria for a lot of stuff. So now, Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. Jessica Chastain for A Most Violent Year. Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Meryl Streep for Into the Woods, and Emma Stone for Birdman.
I'm going to go Meryl Streep.
Patricia Arquette.
Patricia Arquette. This one was kind of a surprise to me, too.
I watched it.
That is complete
bullshit. But I'm glad Meryl Streep didn't win. I'm always happy when she doesn't win.
She's won enough.
She's always nominated for everything.
This is a perfectly believable win for me. Perfectly believable. Not a lot of bullshit this year, which is a nice twist. Best foreign language film. Ida, Force Majeure, Get, The Trial of Vivian Amsalam, Tangerines, or Leviathan, which is, it looks like Leviathan, but they pronounced it Leviathan, which I found very upsetting. Yeah, which was
really upsetting.
But apparently that's what it's called.
I guess I'll go with the last one. I don't even remember what the category was.
There was Best Foreign Language Film, and the winner was Leviathan.
Yay! It's badass.
Yeah, badass.
No, it's Leviathan, so I'm calling bullshit on this.
Taking a stand. I like it. Best Animated Feature Film, a.k.a. the category I barely care about. Your nominees are The Lego Movie, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Big Hero 6, The Book of Life, and The Box Trolls. And this winner surprised me.
Box Trolls is foreign, so I'll go Box Trolls.
So is Book of Life.
So is Book of Life. All
right, I'll go Book of Life because Box Trolls wasn't very good. I went to it with my daughter and my wife.
The winner was How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Really?
Which shocked me.
Which was bullshit.
I would put Book of Life and Lego Movie above it. I haven't seen Big Hero 6 yet. And actually, to be entirely honest, I didn't see How to Train Your Dragon 2. I just can't assume it was better than the Lego Movie.
I haven't seen
The one I hadn't seen on that list was, I just lost it.
Box Trolls?
Box Trolls.
Okay.
Yeah, Box Trolls.
No, because I did a review.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
And I really enjoyed Book of Life, so. Because I thought it was a original plot, so I really kind of enjoyed it.
The Box Trolls, I wanted to be good.
And it just didn't have it?
It's not even good. Yeah, it's just not good. Which was a bummer because Nick Frost was the most featured voice in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not good. Sorry, Nick Frost.
Sorry, bud.
Maybe next year.
So now, best actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Your nominees.
That's such a broad.
I know. Your nominees are Michael Keaton for Birdman, Bill Murray for St. Vincent, Ralph Fiennes for The Grand Budapest Hotel, Christoph Waltz for Big Eyes, and Joaquin Phoenix for Inherent Vice.
I am going to put my faith in St. Vincent because I saw that, and Bill Murray needs to win some awards, and I'm just gonna trust the star power carries him, so I'm gonna say Bill Murray.
You know who else needs to win some awards? Michael Keaton for Birdman.
I agree.
And you know who didn't?
I think he may take an Oscar.
And you know who won? Michael Keaton for Birdman.
I'll still say badass.
Completely badass.
There's
to me.
Multiple badass potential. Yep,
this was a strong category. Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Julianne Moore for Maps to the Stars. Amy Adams for Big Eyes. Emily Blunt for Into the Woods. Helen Mirren for The 100-Foot Journey. And Kevenjane Wallace for Annie.
God, I haven't seen any of these. But I'm going to go, because I think I saw the answer already, Amy Adams.
It is, in fact, Amy Adams for Big Eyes.
Yeah, you want to know why I know the answer to that?
Why is that?
Because the Golden Globes accidentally posted the answer for that one and for the big prize.
Oh.
By accident, they put it under the previous year's winner and then within 15 minutes corrected it, but the internet
people had already caught on.
What the internet is.
Wow, immediately I completely spread missed it that. Out.
So I'm going to guess that the big winner is Selma, but we'll just continue on.
We'll get there when we get there. So, yeah, it is, in fact, Amy Adams. Now, this I'm going to say believable because it's Amy Adams, and I always believe she does good work, even though I haven't seen this movie.
I haven't seen any of them, so I'm going to, yeah.
But believable. From the reviews I've read and the things I've seen, I'm under the impression Big Eyes is not a good movie. So that's why I kind of find this one shocking. I was sort of under the impression it was a crappy movie.
But I will say I've seen many a movie where I walk out and I'm like, man, that actor or actress was so good.
It's true.
That movie sucked. So maybe there was a lot of people saying that.
It's just has been nominated. It was nominated so much. I just don't understand it.
Translates better in other countries.
It's certainly possible.
I don't know.
Maybe like the Estonians are all about Big Eyes.
The big Estonian block of voters. The Estonian press.
The feared Estonian press.
Dude, you didn't just say shit about Estonia, did you?
I would never say shit about Estonia.
That's like Dickens. Making a joke about the prophet Muhammad. If you, it's the same thing.
If you talk shit about Estonia, you'll never work in any town again. It's that simple. Best motion picture, musical or comedy? Your nominees are Into the Woods, Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, St. Vincent, or Pride.
What was the category again?
Best motion picture, musical, or comedy.
I think they dropped that winner by accident, too, if I remember right. So I'm going to say Into the Woods.
The winner?
I think it was the Grand Budapest Hotel, if I remember right.
It was, in fact, the Grand Budapest Hotel. Okay.
All right, yep. I'm going to say badass. I really like that.
I really like that movie as well.
I'm downgrading it to believable just because I wanted Birdman to win it so bad.
I love Birdman too.
Yeah.
But the Grand Budapest Hotel, I think if they had released that later.
Oh, I think it would have a very different.
Yeah. And I even think I would be more excited about it too versus
there
Birdman
is
just because.
A little bit of recency bias kicking in.
Yeah.
Here.
And that's not taken away from Birdman. I love Birdman, but I really think that Wes Anderson film would have been helped better by being released later.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Although, I mean, it won the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, so it didn't get that hurt.
They think differently than us.
Best actor in a motion picture, drama. Your nominees are Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, David Oyelowo. There's a lot of vowels. It's super difficult. David Oyelowo for Selma, and Jake Gyllenhaal for Nightcrawler.
I'm going to go with The Theory of Everything.
I think it was a Theory of Everything.
It is, in fact, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything.
I'm going to say badass. Yeah. If you want to hear my reasoning on it, listen to the last episode.
Absolutely well deserved. I mean, on a degree of difficulty alone, you have to give him credit. Like, yeah. Just for how hard it is to pull a role like that off.
Although not so great with the speaking. I'm such an asshole.
Shots fired. Right. Best actress in a motion picture, drama. Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon for Wild, Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything, and Jennifer Aniston for Cake.
It goes in the face of everything we said the Golden Globes are supposed to be about, but I gotta go with Rosamund Pike. I mean, she was so incredible in Gone Girl. It's gotta win somewhere. So that's the one I'm gonna go with, yeah.
I'm going to say Julianne Moore. I don't remember the winner on that one.
So it is Julianne Moore, and I have not seen Still Alice yet, but this is a performance especially that's gotten a lot of hype with a lot of people saying it's Julianne Moore's to lose, like it's her and nobody else is close.
Ooh,
sort of situation.
Her.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. So this, I'll say believable. I haven't seen it, Julianne Moore.
I don't know it either.
And
I love her too.
I think she's underrated too.
And this totally fits that narrative, her winning here, that like it's her year and nobody's coming close.
By the way, if you guys don't remember last year, we like really get into the Oscar race. So
yeah, we do.
You can bet that I'm going to get as intense as I did last year.
There will be a lot of opinion shared.
Especially if you got, are you guys going to do the thing for the Myrna Loy again?
I'm planning on it. So yep. The nominations come out Thursday. So
we should do the ballots again for the Myrna Loy on the air. And I'll tell you, dude, I am going to see every movie that I can except for the Oscars. So whether I want to or not, I will see as many as I can. Because last year I got third place out of how many people?
I can't remember. Probably 25 or 30 I had in, something like that.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah, it wasn't a ton of people.
Literally telling
it's not
people
like there was
like,
300 people.
Well, I was literally telling people like 100 people.
Oh, yeah, no, there's not that many. Although I would love for there to be 100 people this year, so.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It'd be super nice.
That's so, in the upper 9%, guys.
When I put those...
You gotta say 9 because it's more impressive than 10.
That's right. we are now to the big prize. Best Picture, Drama.
Selma.
The nominees are Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Imitation Game, Selma, and The Theory of Everything.
Yeah, you know where I went on.
Gone Girl does not get a nomination.
That's a travesty. I'll just put it out. It's already bullshit because Gone Girl isn't up for it.
Here's the question. Which one of those five do you kick out? That's my question. That's the hard part.
I don't know because I haven't seen any.
Fair enough.
But Gone Girl was so good. But I am planning on seeing Selma maybe this week. So regardless, I'm pretty sure that they released the name of that already by accident. So I'll Brandon? Say I think it's Selma.
I thought it was A Theory of Everything, but.
The winner, this is the first one tonight that neither of you have correctly guessed.
Really?
The winner is, in fact, Boyhood.
Oh, so they didn't put him
I up. Think the foreign press got swept up in the narrative of that movie.
Okay.
For good reason. It's such an impressive achievement that I can't blame them.
I'm surprised that, like, didn't that come out in the summer?
Yeah, in, like, July.
Yeah.
They I'm do surprised think that
differently
one's
than us.
They do think differently. They must love that narrative, the 12 years narrative, which, I mean, everybody fell in love with that narrative, so it doesn't shock me.
But. Everybody has to talk about it. He watches that film, it seems like.
So on that reason alone, I'll say badass.
Yeah, I'll badass. Say badass.
Like, when you're rewarding that kind of effort, to put some sort of artistic statement out, like you do, you have to reward the people who take crazy risks to do something interesting.
And I haven't seen Selma yet. I'm hoping it's really good, but part of me is worried it's going to be like the biopic thing.
I have
thing
that,
I that
same
about.
Worry, but I've heard a lot of really good things.
The clips I saw from watching the Golden Globes, because they did a narrative on each one of the movies
the little
throughout,
packages.
And it looked really interesting.
Yeah, I just my go-to that I always talk about, and I think I might have even just talked about this in the last Thin Man. So you can really easily, when you're doing a biopic, get really corny and like heavy-handed and ham-handed in it. And so the one I always talk about is there's this Monkees movie, and there's a part where they didn't fire a producer that they were supposed to fire, and the band gets really mad, and Mike Nesmith like punches a wall, like a hole in a wall by this guy, and he goes, "That could have been your face." And that's what I fear with these biopics, is they're going to have a "that could have been your face" moment.
Yeah. I think focusing on one specific event is a really smart idea for that movie.
I don't know. I would have to say it to know, because sometimes they focus on an event and you're like, dude, you didn't even get what they're the most famous
for.
Like, and it's really irritating. And then sometimes they do too much and there's too much on the downfall or whatever.
It is a hard line to walk.
Yeah. I don't envy people who do biopics.
It's
like,
a huge
when
risk.
I say that, I like that I'm always worried about the risk. It's because it's really fucking hard to do.
And
to,
especially
like, take a real person and like come up with the exact amount of their life that you're going to cover.
Yeah, and dramatize it. And then people come in looking for you to get things wrong when you do a biopic. Like, they're looking for you to get facts wrong.
Yeah, especially with the internet nowadays. That's not
such a rough proposition. So that's why I have props to anyone who can pull it off, and hopefully they did with Selma. I've heard a lot of good things, so fingers crossed. I'm hoping to see that soon.
Yeah, I'll probably see it this week. I think me and my wife are making a priority. It's something from the Loy. I'm not sure yet.
We're opening Foxcatcher.
You're opening Foxcatcher?
Yep.
Is that what we should probably review?
Yeah, probably.
All right, so you heard it here. We're doing Foxcatcher next
Talking
week.
Talking about Foxcatcher.
Do you still have Whiplash?
I do, yep.
Yeah, I might just straight up pay for that because I really want to see that. I don't know how I'm going to work in the time
it's
yet.
It's such a good movie.
I've been hearing too much about it. I got to see it. So, and it's, I could identify with Connor on shooting the show when he was talking about it because, like, truthfully, like, first off, I love J.K. Simmons, but like, if you took out any actors that I know, like, I love jazz, I love drumming.
You will see things dedicated to
so
that.
So right away, this is already like right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's like, so fucking good. That movie is something special.
You missed a couple of things on there.
Oh, I just read what was on my list.
Because I know the one I recall was Jeffrey Tambor winning.
Oh, I didn't look over any of the TV ones. I think I was just looking at the movie ones. I don't think we went over any TV ones. I can go find them if you want.
I think we can.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah, because that was, you're right. I just did the movies. Okay. Yep. So, yeah, Jeffrey Tambor won for Transparent, which, great. I really want to see that show. I've heard nothing but rave reviews.
I think I heard something about it, but I haven't really checked it out. What I have been checking out is my Portland Trailblazers, which my wife is really starting to hate. Like, I fell a couple games behind because of some stuff. So
should we put Zach on the spot here for a two-minute drill or a two-minute warning?
Oh, yeah. So we have a tradition that you get to brag for 2 minutes.
That's right.
If your team advances in the playoffs. All right, go ahead. 2 minutes. Bam, you're on the clock.
I am swept away out to sea with the emotions that come with me every time I see that number 12 trot onto the field. Because I know there's no situation where I don't truly believe in my heart that he can bring it back. And even when he doesn't, I never stop believing in it. And it's just... It's so rare that I get to look back and reflect on the time I've spent rooting for the Brady Belichick team up, and it's honest to God, it's a privilege, you know? It's just, I get to watch two Hall of Famers playing out their careers together, as good as they were when they were young bucks. It's just, people should be scared, because anytime you think the Pats are out, they can take anyone down. They came back from 2 14-point deficits in that game against a team that plays them as tough as anyone in cold weather, and Brady's 37 years old. Bill Belichick has been getting shit for falling behind the times. It's never going to happen. These two will take down anyone, and I have to say, frankly, I'm disappointed that Peyton Manning got all scared and went to Papa John's instead of coming to Foxborough like a man. I'd drop the mic if it wasn't on a stand.
That's good, man.
I knew I wouldn't need 2 minutes.
I can stretch that out. Dig at the other side of the room.
That hurts.
I had to throw it in. I had to.
But you knew what you're getting into. You gave the lesser of the rivalry. That's right. Less rings, less playoff wins.
Less attractive jawlines. More pizza coupons. Less so you are winning on that front.
Less attractive wife, I just have to imagine.
Less money in the family bank account. Less attractive children.
That
might be true, but
it's that I'd have to look at.
Manning was like the number one endorsement guy for a long time.
Yeah, Gisele Bündchen is richer than like both of them combined. She's one of the richest people alive.
Really? Yep. Why?
Because she was one of the most popular models, and she was a smarter investor than any of the rest of them.
Oh, so she's done stuff outside.
She's got she's a crazy entrepreneur.
Yeah, I did.
She's
not
like the Jay-Z of modeling.
I did not believe it when you said modeling, but yeah.
Yeah, she's the Jay-Z of, because she made millions and millions from modeling.
Magic Johnson, like he had a great contract and was rich for the time, but then he just spun that into so many things.
And that's exactly what she did.
So she's like Magic Johnson of modeling.
And that's how she got the deal with Tom Brady when Under Armour first came out. They offered Tom Brady an endorsement contract, but instead of a deal, he wanted a percentage of stock. And that was Gisele Bündchen's idea. And so now he's like a multi-bajillionaire because of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why
they are some wealthy mofos. Like, they never want for anything. Their children's 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 children will be fine.
Oh, I don't believe that.
That's obviously an exaggeration. One of them will piss away the money at some point.
Like, if those two are smart at handling their money, the next generation will be
awful. We'll see they'll be the bus children.
Yeah. They'll be the ones that's like, hey, guess what? I just built a city on a yacht.
I bought a mountain of cocaine.
And now I'm going to do my cocaine and spend all my money. That's great.
And it'd still probably take two generations to really get rid of it all. That's the most impressive thing, I think.
No, dude, it just takes one bad apple to get rid of that.
To ruin the whole thing.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to destroy a mountain. It just takes one devil seed.
It's a lot easier to destroy a mountain than build one.
That's right. Yeah, mountains take generations, like that millennia to build. One
destructions
missile
take
can
moments.
Knock it down. One missile called cocaine can knock down that mountain.
It's knocked down so many mountains before. What would make this stone different?
It could be crack. It could be the Marion Barion show.
See, my thing is, I know it'll be at least two generations because their children now are literal angels. Like, they are literal, like, spawn from the heavens.
Oh, when you said that, I thought you meant they literally died.
No, no, no.
That's where I thought you were going.
That
would have
been a dark twist to that game that we played earlier. That
would have been super sad. Yeah, I don't want to play a version of Dead or Not Dead where we're guessing children. Yeah.
Like, Tom that's Brady's super dark. Child, that, dead or alive. That's fucked up,
it's dude. The most, it's the, are we really ending the podcast on this note?
No, I think we have to come up with something else pop culturally just to cleanse the palate.
They were,
Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Have you seen the big trailer they
I haven't
for
yet,
it?
No.
They just rolled out a 2-minute trailer. It's on the Not Safe for Network page, or I'll watch you can it look it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah. The internet.
It looks good, man. Like, it looks like, so there's a couple of things you can draw from it. The first is, like, Saul is more, he's not as jaded as he is in Breaking Bad, and it's abundantly clear when you're watching this, right? I mean, and I've heard him say as much in interviews too, but when you watch it, it seems like there's a little bit of an idealist in him, which I'm sure will get mashed out with time.
I don't know if I quite got the idealist, but he was a very vocal person in the clip I saw, and just like seemed happy with life. I don't know if I'd go there.
Well, yeah, but Walt ruined his life like it ruined everybody else's. Right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, and to a lesser degree, Huel. Yes. Huel fucked everything up, dude. That was the worst hire ever.
But he had an amazing head, so you couldn't really hold it against
he
him.
He did have a magical head, dude.
Anyone who actually looks like Mr. Robotnik is an amazing casting decision.
Like, if I was Saul, I would have, like, Mike Emmentrout, clearly a good hire, right?
Top notch hire.
Yeah, Bill Burr's character, whatever his character's name was, totally happy with that guy.
Yep.
Should not have hired Huel.
The guy he sent Walt to stay at the New Hampshire cabin with, great hire. That guy got his job done.
I'm still convinced that Huel is sitting in that room.
Still to
like
this
day. Waiting
for
the cops to come back to this day is still sitting in that
just
room.
Just eating little bits of chair to keep himself sustained.
That's what I want to see. Not an entire series.
Just like an episode. Like, a TV movie.
Like, you know how Ricky Gervais, like, he'll do like his series run, maybe he does a second season, and then he does like a bonus like hour long episode. That's what I want to see, a bonus one that just follows Huel and
Huel hanging out,
just seeing where he goes from there. I'm betting McDonald's.
Whether it's McDonald's right after or before the end of the episode, it's there will be a McDonald's
him
moment.
Staring at his watch going
sweating profusely.
And then when the meat sweat stopped, that's when he finally gives up and goes to McDonald's. And then probably goes right back to the room.
Oh, yeah.
You're He's wondering like, that, or if he just orders in a pizza, just...
He might do that. That's a lot less work for Huel.
And it's dumber.
And we also know that Saul has a lot of cell phones laying around that office. Like, there's got to be one he can pick up and call a pizza with.
There's a phone in the room. Come on.
I'm just imagining now, this is like the opening of the episode. Listen, there's only 3 minutes left on this prepaid cell phone. We have to do this quick. I need a pizza delivered to this address, pronto.
All right, well, I think that's a good place to quit.
Oh, Huel, how we miss it.
Oh, working out those kinks.
I felt my kidneys shake a little bit.
Did your balls ascend from the reverb?
They did. They're back now.
Hello, what can I do for you today?
Well, I am looking for Christmas presents for my family. Just, I really let it go this year. Do you have anything good for me?
Of course, the We Had a Good Life podcast, which you can find on the Not Safe for Network.
A podcast? I guess I was thinking more like a Furby, maybe?
Maybe Montucky Skies is more up your alley.
I guess, is that also a podcast? Because again, I'm looking for something a little more tangible.
Podcast? Why, speak no further. We've got Box Office Battle.
You know, I gotta say, I'm beginning to feel like you're not listening to me. Again, looking for gifts like I can put in a box or a bag and wrap them for my friends and family.
Perhaps shooting the show would be more your speed.
You know, work with me, not for me. Let's work as a, let's try to attack this as a team. Again, gifts, family.
Is your family into art?
Sure, yeah.
Well, then the Thin Man podcast would be right up your alley.
All right. Do you have something that's not a podcast? Because this is a little frustrating.
Real Roulette isn't a podcast anymore, but we do have the archives available on the Not Safe for Network.
I mean, it seems pretty clear at this point you have an agenda. You're not going to sell me the toy robot. You're not going to sell me the beautiful handbag. And you're not going to sell me that cool poncho. What are you going to sell me?
That's debatable. It's a podcast about arguing.
You know, I gotta say, at this point, I feel like I understand arguing. So I'm tempted, but again, not what I'm looking for.
So you're looking for something tangible that you can hold in your hands.
Ideally.
Well, why not the Not Safe for Network podcast, which you can hold in your hands on your iPod or MP3 player?
Sure, that counts.